Hi, I'm Dave Champion.
And I'm Bill Carnes.
And we are totally unprepared. All right, let me explain a little bit about the formatting of the show. The first segment, Bill and I are going to talk about something topical that we think you'd be interested in, and more importantly, we're interested in. And then the second segment is something that I personally have chosen, whether it's political, cultural, what have you, something that I wonder what's up with that. And then from there,
well, then we're going to talk about something that really, well, grinds my gears. The name of the segment, we'll chat about something that's on my mind. It might be something timely. It might be something personal. There's a whole bunch of things that bother me in life that I'd love to tell you folks about. And then we finish up with viewer emails. And you're going to see the right across the bottom of the screen, the email address to send us in some viewer topics. And we have a couple for our initial show that came in off of the Facebook post that we made
right, announcing
this show.
Outstanding. All right, what did you want to talk about first?
You know, something that's kind of timely right now, you and I both have experience in the police world, and there's been a lot of hubbub that have gone on about police shooting suspects. But there hasn't been much topic about when suspects are shooting and killing police.
Okay.
And a lot of it has to do with the skin color of those involved. If the skin color isn't equal, we seem to get press in certain areas, but not in others.
So there's an issue then.
There is. There seems to be a big issue with this.
Do we think there really is an issue, or is this a perceptual issue?
Well, you know, what really gets me, Dave, is a lot of people like to refer to this as race.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally take issue with using the term race in this.
Nobody's running a race?
No, nobody's running a race. And quite honestly, there is one race, and that's the human race.
There you go.
We might very well come from different cultural backgrounds, different parts of the world, ourselves or our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And those things help define who we are.
Yep.
And sometimes define who we are as small little cultural groups.
Sure.
But to actually use the word race really bothers me.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to say something for myself, and I'm going to ask you by association if it's true for you.
Okay.
During my years on the street, I never once pointed my weapon at somebody or pressed the trigger based on the color of their skin. It was based 100% on conduct, not race. How about you?
I would agree. I worked in some pretty seedy areas of Las Vegas as a patrol officer, and I worked swing shift. You know, that's really when things are happening. And I had my gun pointed at a few different people over time and never did it, considering it was nighttime. Oftentimes I had no idea what the color of their skin was, especially nighttime and in the winter. I had no idea what the color of their skin was. It was conduct that created that. I think that the idea that police will actually decide, okay, well, I'm just going to only point my gun at Hispanic people, or at blacks, or at whites, or at Asians, or Muslims that come from the Middle East. You never know. That really doesn't come into play. If there is some sort of a profiling, oftentimes, you know, here's one of the things that's funny about profiling, and you know this, it's started as criminal profiling, criminal conduct, people who tend to do these sorts of things, or are in this area.
Or how about this?
At this time of day.
You're down in South Central, and a guy's got a red bandana on and a red bandana in the back of his pocket, right? He's a black man. He's a blood, okay? He's telegraphing. He's got his colors on. He's flying his colors that he's a blood. You know, if it was blue, he'd be a Crip, okay? So that, to me, is, as you were pointing out, profiling in the sense of criminality, not profiling based on race.
Correct. And you also have to realize that the word profile has become very ugly. The problem with it is people believe that cops have come up, okay, if I want to stop blacks, what is it that blacks do, and we're going to create a profile so we know how to stop blacks? Which that's not it. It's, as cops, there's criminal conduct.
Right.
What are these criminals doing that we can tend to have a better guess at what they're doing in order to try to prevent crime? Because you know as well as I do, for a cop to prevent a crime is almost impossible.
Dubious.
Yeah, we always showed up afterwards, took the reports, put out, they call it an APB or an ATL or whatever you want to call it, an ABC. We put out the information on the suspect from there. So when it comes to this whole thing about profiling these sorts of things and getting into shootings based on race-related incidents, you know, we've had certainly the Ferguson, Missouri issue that's been around. Mm-hmm. We have in New York, there's a similar one that's been around recently. A grand jury failed to indict. And people want to look at it on the basis of skin color. Mm-hmm. When in just the past few months, there have been 4 white police officers that have been killed by black suspects, and there was a black police officer killed by a white suspect, and we don't hear anything about that. And we don't hear about Eric Holder flying off to make sure that the families of these slain officers or slain victims when the color of the skin is reversed from Ferguson, he's not rushing in to make sure those families are taken care of. The country's being divided. At the highest levels of government, getting divided with all of this race-related garbage that's coming out.
I certainly, when you're talking about people like Eric Holder, you're preaching to the choir on that. However, first of all, we should say when we're talking about profiling, we should acknowledge we're talking about the vast majority of law enforcement officers, peace officers. We are not, there are exceptions.
Yes, there's always exceptions to the rule. There's nothing 100%.
Right, and so we all have worked with guys that
suck.
In most cases, we wish we hadn't had to work with them.
Absolutely. Yeah,
because of how they viewed race.
Absolutely.
Now, as to we're being divided, is it media or government that's doing the dividing? Because, as you point out, when you talk about, for instance, the Brown incident in Ferguson, that has, to a significant extent, been media-driven. You can't turn on the news. You can't go to the Drudge Report. You can't go to any of the big networks that are on the Internet without seeing it's sort of dying out now. But for quite some time, Ferguson, 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 everywhere you went all the time. Not so much from government. From media. And sometimes I wonder, just like ISIS.
Okay? Yeah. Right. It, you know, that started to die
it
off.
It was ISIS,
a little bit.
ISIS, ISIS.
As soon as Ferguson came around, ISIS started to
right,
die.
Right. And
off.
Then there's no ISIS.
There's going to be the great bubblegum caper next week.
So it seems to me that what's happening is, I'm not discounting the government involvement, but what I see happening more is the media coming in and saying, we want to hook up, emotionally hook up as many people as possible. We want them to come back and watch our network. We want them to come back on the Internet and look at our website, and hence see our advertisers and so forth. We want as many people as possible to be consuming our product. And the way we get them, especially when it comes to news, the way we get them to consume our product is to emotionally hook them up. Okay? And I think what I'm feeling is that in the media's zest to get ratings, they do that by manipulating the public, their emotions, and that in turn is at least a very significant part of what you're talking about in dividing. And it's they're not looking to divide, they're looking to profit. The consequence of that effort is they're creating the divide.
I would say without a doubt, that's exactly what's going on because media is a business and it's business driven. And what do we have? 5, 6, 7 major media outlets that own everything?
Yeah.
And we can thank George Bush the first for that because it used to be a very limited number, like 1 TV station, 2 radio stations and a newspaper in any one market was the most you could have. Now we have these massive conglomerations of media outlets and controlled by similar-minded people in most cases. So what do they get out of it? Well, I think they get out of what bleeds leads.
There you go.
And whatever the government feeds them, which I have learned. I have learned. You know, I get involved in politics and what goes on. And I have learned one fallible truth at the federal level. There is actually a tell. You know, in poker, there's a tell.
Okay.
There's a tell when federal politicians, elected officials, appointed, hired, whatever, when these bureaucrats are lying or they're not giving us all of the truth. Mm-hmm. There's one tell, and they all do it.
And that is?
Talk in front of a camera.
The old adage, how do you know they're lying?
Their lips are moving.
Yeah.
and they're just yammering and running on and on. Look at, for instance,
and from the Dave Champion Show, the government lies all the time, and lies even when the truth would serve it well.
That's absolutely true. Look at Nancy Pelosi. There's absolutely. You're going to be forced to.
Nausea.
There has not been a coherent statement come out of that woman's mouth in more than a decade. I mean, you look at what's going on. You listen to what she says. She rambles on and at the end has said absolutely nothing of any substance at all. There's no substance. There hasn't been in years. And she's not isolated. And others are learning from that.
Yes.
How do I... Thank you for asking me a question on why is it 200 milligrams in each pill of Advil as opposed to 700 milligrams? I appreciate you asking me that. And she ends up talking about water bottle caps.
Who was the congressman who was concerned that the island was going to tip over?
Oh, I cannot remember that complete idiot. But yeah, he was concerned that the island of Guam through too much construction might actually flip over. And at that point in time...
Okay, just a pause for a moment.
We need to do a piss test.
Voters somewhere voted to put that rocket scientist in Congress.
You got to do a piss test on that guy. Yeah. You got to test what's inside him because it's whatever it is, it didn't come from Whole Foods.
Or he was getting it from the same place Jesse Jackson Jr. did.
Oh, could have been. Yeah. I was totally unprepared for
there
that.
There you go.
So, yeah, when it comes to the various relationships that the media has with things like with these police and the people that are shooting them, it's obviously... As you articulated, it's how many viewers they can get in so they can run up their rates on their
advertisers. Did you remember Nancy Pelosi said that natural gas is much more desirable than fossil fuels?
Yes. And we're talking about a culture coming from the California.
Yes, can you believe
federal
it?
Right. Yeah. That'll be a whole nother topic the idiocy of it, that could never end. I don't know where I actually want to start broaching that subject.
I just thought it was classic when you're talking about Pelosi and then we're talking about what did you say? There's not been a cognizant thing out of her mouth in a decade.
No,
you know, so even when she tries to be cognizant, they just come out completely idiotic.
It's unreal.
All right, my friends, we will be back right after these messages. Stay tuned and you will be back for more of Totally Unprepared. All right, we are back. And now it is time for... All right. What is up with the people who cannot acknowledge Bill Cosby is a rapist? Okay? I am baffled. As it stands right now, there are 21 victims/accusers who have gone public, 21. One of those accusers says she knows a dozen other Playboy bunnies that were also victims, a dozen others who've told her that they were also drugged and raped by Bill Cosby. One of the other public victims says she knows a few other ladies who were victims of Bill Cosby drugging them and raping them. So, I mean, probably the number that we know of today, well, we know it's 21 for sure, and it looks like we're approaching about 40 as far as the women that there is some knowledge at some level that were raped by Bill Cosby. Now, to me, I don't necessarily see this as an issue about Cosby, as an issue about the victims, as an issue about rape. There is some weird, bizarre mental condition in the minds of the people who cannot acknowledge that he's a rapist. What do you think about that, Bill?
Full disclosure, I have not been drugged or raped by Bill Cosby.
Okay.
I just want that to be clear.
I think you'd have to be a little older.
But I you
perhaps
never know.
Perhaps a little more attractive.
Well, we don't, NAMBLA? You never know.
NAMBLA, I haven't heard that in years.
Yeah, well, thank God. So
should we tell the audience what that is, by the way?
Let's not go there.
Google it.
Yeah, yeah. Be careful, though, because they might see what you're Googling and come out to you. So
wait a second.
Didn't he do the
long... Are you implying that the government monitors the internet?
That's another topic.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm totally unprepared to talk about that right now. And No, I'm not prepared to.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting. Bill Cosby did a long, 20 or so minute bit on the Spanish fly back in the 70s.
Oh, Lord.
Which is back when a lot of these allegations have come around from that era. And
like 66 on?
Something along that line.
When he, you know, he jettisoned to fame with I Spy with Robert Culp.
Sure. Yeah.
People often know him from The Cosby Show and Fat Albert and all that.
Sure.
But what made him, where he gained his notoriety, and you know, in Hollywood, the industry, not the geography, notoriety, star power, is literally power in that industry. Those people many times walk like gods. They can get away with things that nobody else can get away with. And he jettisoned to that status through I Spy.
And you know what's interesting is in Shakespeare's day, actors and actresses were the stage actors. They were the television of the day. And they were literally considered the lowest rung of society. Literally, the folks that came in and cleaned up the theater afterwards sat higher on the echelon. And now you go into
those people actually
supermarket.
Yes.
They produce something. And, you know, now you go into the supermarket and you see 8 different magazines and all of them have some sort of music or film or television person that's on there. When, again, in Shakespeare's day, they were the lowest rung of society. Back to Bill Cosby.
By the way, I'm proud to say when I go through the check stand now, probably 90% of the faces on those magazines, I have no idea who those people are.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting, too. You look at Cosmo, and it's 35 ways how to be a raving slut. And this, it used to be a fashion magazine, but no, that's literally what it says. And I look at it, and I'm, you know, I have daughters, and they're walking through and reading this same garbage at eye level.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Back to Bill Cosby, which will certainly fill up all of the supermarket tabloids if they're not already there.
I
would imagine the Inquirer this week is going to have it there. But I think where it gets down to people not accepting that Bill Cosby could be responsible for all of these things is the perception that Bill Cosby has out there in America. Always been wholesome, funny. He's never cursed. He's always gone to young, generally black comedians and encouraged them to do it clean. This has been historical for decades. And, you know, the family values, you remember, as the Huxtables, they were an attorney and a doctor. Interesting. He played a gynecologist in that show, didn't he?
I don't know. I don't remember.
He did, yeah.
Okay.
So maybe that was a little tell, but yeah, it's I think the people denying, oh, this guy couldn't possibly have done any of these things. Then again, on the flip side, I mean, anybody can come up and give an allegation from decades ago because there's no way to prove it without any sort of like video evidence or something along that line. So I can understand where people are at, but when presented with so much information,
that's the thing to me. If one or two, perhaps three, came out and said these kind of things, I would say, oh, yeah, perhaps we've got somebody who's looking for some money or has some other motivation, and then we've got a couple of copycatters. I would certainly leave that wide open as a possibility. But when we've got 21 people women who have gone on the record as being drugged and raped by him, and in one of the cases it appears to be by him and several of his friends, I suppose it doesn't make much difference when you've been roofied whether you get raped by one or six, but it's still an utterly disgusting concept.
I can't speak to that, and I just don't know.
From which anyway.
Either.
Okay. So my point is, you take 21.
Yeah.
If let's give the benefit of the doubt to people who think that some of these things are trumped up.
Okay.
Now, I would say probably a realistic number, if any of them are trumped up, would be, you know, 2, 3, 4. But let's really give the benefit of the doubt to the people who are having an issue with this. And let's say 10 of them are trumped up. That still means there's 11 public accusers who then are making valid, factual allegations.
And at this point in time, we're talking about folks who really don't have much to gain over this.
Yes.
So I'm going to come out, and if you pay me $2 million, I'll shut up. We haven't seen that.
Only one has filed suit. Only one. And she filed suit because the the rape occurred to her, the alleged rape occurred to her when she was 15 years old.
I remember hearing about that, yeah. Which I think you have to be in the deep South for that to be legal.
The story is that Bill Cosby met her and a girlfriend someplace. I forget the details of where they met. He invited them to the Playboy Mansion. He was a very close personal friend of Hugh Hefner's, and probably still is. And they said, we're not of age, according to the victim. We're not of age. And he said, if anybody asks, just tell them you're with me and you're 19 and you'll be good. 15.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, you've got young girls. So
how old is your oldest?
Daughters.
Well, my kids are 13.
That's what I meant.
Between 13 and 24 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
So some of them are right in that age range.
Yeah. I have three
so you can very
daughters.
Personally relate to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, absolutely. There would be some very serious repercussions if anything happened to them, which is interesting. I made it a habit with my oldest daughter, just got married recently, to make sure that I met everybody she had an interest in before it got anywhere beyond the interest part, in an effort to do my fatherly duty and scare the living hell out of them and let them know who I am, what I do, what I'm capable of, mm-hmm. and any sort of untimely things that might befall them along the lines of whatever you do to my daughter, I reserve the option to do to you.
Elizabeth came home one night when she was 16, and she was drunk. She'd gone out with somebody that I knew, one of her peers, her age group. I don't know that they necessarily considered it a date, but they went out. She was gone for about two and a half hours, and she came back noticeably drunk at 16. And I didn't say anything to anybody that time. No sense saying anything to Elizabeth. She's drunk, right? Talking to a drunk is worthless. The boy did not come in, so I did not have an opportunity to talk to him. But I did make sure he came over to the house in the next couple days. And I walked him out to my truck, and I opened the door, and I pulled out a baseball bat. And I said...
You played intramural softball
no,
at the time, didn't you?
No, I told him, I don't play baseball. Okay? Go out with Elizabeth and return her drunk one more time, and you'll find out what I do with this baseball bat.
Good enough.
And to my knowledge, there was no hanky-panky, but just bringing Elizabeth home at 16 drunk, that was enough for me.
Sure.
So your stories, my stories, and then we imagine there's this allegation that Bill Cosby, this guy who probably, absent the roofies and absent the drugging and raping, could have had how many women?
Oh, yeah. That's really the kind of the disturbing factor, at least in my mind, as far as I'm concerned, is Bill Cosby is Bill Cosby.
Right.
I mean, talk about having kind of your pick of the litter. Any major celebrity that's out there. Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't expect now, like in today's day and age, like, say, Bradley Cooper or Matt Damon or you know, some handsome guy that's doing well in his career that couldn't go out and get their pick of the litter for the most part.
You bet.
Instead, they stoop to drugging and raping, especially when it's time after time. That shows a problem. That shows a serial pattern, if in fact it's true.
And it shows that there's a particular, I don't know how to characterize it, a warped bent that consensual sex is not where the turn-on lies.
Yeah, it's not good enough. Yeah.
Yes, there's something not rewarding enough about consensual sex that you need to have non-consensual sex. And that's non-consensual. I mean, today, I mean, probably, honestly, probably back in the 70s, this was not considered so much rape as we see it as rape today.
It would be like spousal abuse. Spousal abuse was literally accepted through the early 70s.
Yeah.
Then it was less accepted. Now it's completely not accepted at all.
Yeah. During the big drug years in the 70s, you know, for a gal to take drugs and guy to take advantage of her while she was incapacitated was not considered a heinous act. Today it is. If the gal is not competent to give consent, you don't proceed.
Correct. And not that it was right back then, by
it
any
wasn't.
Means.
Yeah,
not
no.
that it was right. We're not going there.
No.
But that
it should have been wrong then, too.
Sure. Yeah. The perception of it has certainly changed. So It's interesting where people's mindsets are when it comes to Bill Cosby on this.
Celebrities.
We will be back in just a few minutes. We thank you for sticking around, and we've got one more segment coming at you where I get a rant, so we'll be right back. Welcome back, and now it's time for... You know what really grinds my gears? Celebrities. When they open their mouths when they shouldn't. I'll give you an example. If I want to be entertained, I go to someone who's within the entertainment industry, and I watch their movie or their television program, or I turn them on the stereo, and I listen. When I'm done being entertained by them, I turn the television off, change a channel, or same with the radio. What really grinds my gears is when I hear some sort of a celebrity, like let's say Rosie O'Donnell, who I've never really found very entertaining, so I've never actually hit that channel. But let's say that I did. And once I was done listening to some comedy routine, I then start hearing about whatever it might be within politics. It's, I love this politician, or I believe that this policy that they're entertaining in Washington is going to be good, or I'm going to throw a huge celebrity gala event and support this particular candidate for president, or this candidate for U.S. Senate, or here's my feelings on world hunger or AIDS. I don't want that out of my trained dancing monkey of an entertainer. If I want to crank the box and the little cymbal banging monkey comes out and I'm entertained by that, when I'm done and I push the monkey back in the box, I don't want it to pop out and start telling me about who they support for president or what we should be doing about famine and hunger and AIDS around the world. Perfect example, Dave, U2, and Bono. I think U2 is a band. They suck. I'm a former professional musician. They have a lousy...
We just made a bunch of enemies, by the way.
That's fine. I mean, some people enjoy it. That's fine. Their rhythm section is not good. And Bono's voice is not very deep. No. And everything is political.
Right.
Everything on Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Where does that come from?
I put him in the same vocal class with Sting.
Okay.
No.
I have such an issue. Bruce Springsteen, right? The all-American guy. He goes out of his way. The only time you hear from him, every 4 years now you hear from Bruce Springsteen because he does a big benefit for whatever Democrat is running for president. John Bon Jovi, same thing. You know, not that it's Democrat versus Republican. Richard Dreyfuss played Dick Cheney in the movie W and afterwards came out and started talking about how Dick Cheney was a war criminal and he should be indicted and thrown in prison. And Garth Brooks recently has talked about how, now, Garth Brooks, cowboy, right. He has a bunch of very conservative cowboy and cowgirl type of fans and goes and tells us how Barack Obama is nearly his messiah. He loves what he's doing. Can I say Dixie Chicks? The Dixie Chicks in Texas with the president from Texas said that they couldn't stand the guy. When was the last time we heard from the Dixie?
On stage in the middle of performance.
Yeah. When was the last time we heard from the Dixie Chicks?
Yeah, that ruined
their career. Your place and then shut up.
Now, you said it doesn't matter whether it's left or right, and I agree. However, there seems to be pretty clear to me that the lion's share of the entertainers that want to come out, that make a point of coming out and talking about politics very publicly, are on the left.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying people on the right don't. Small minority by comparison.
Keep this in mind as well. You've got about half of America is Republican and half is Democrat, just for the sake of argument.
Roughly.
They're pretty evenly split. So when an entertainer of any ilk, be it from acting or music or what have you, they come out and they want to start using that as a pulpit to talk about politics, they are instantly about to alienate half of the people who have made them rich and famous and successful.
But it's okay. Do you know why it's okay? Because Americans have an attention span of 12 seconds. So they get angry, and then when the new song comes out or the new movie comes out, oh, man, that song is the... I'll give you an example. Toby Keith, okay? Like Garth Brooks, country music megastar, okay? Millions upon millions of albums sold. And as you know, I
And even more illegally downloaded.
Exactly. So, and as you know, I have in the past been a country nightclub DJ. Okay. So I'm very, very steeped in the culture, country music culture and scene. And for my personal listening, whenever a Toby Keith song comes on, it doesn't matter how much I may have previously liked that song. Whenever a Toby Keith song comes up on my iPod in the truck, next. Now, I keep them there because if I'm working and somebody requests the song, I want to have it. And I share the music list between all my devices, including my DJ equipment. But personally, after he came out and pulled a Garth Brooks, came out and said, you know, Barack Obama walks on water, he's the finest thing since sliced bread, I can't listen to any of his music anymore. But I'm the exception. Most people, they hear something like that, and then Toby Keith comes out with a new album. Have you heard how fantastic the new Toby Keith album is? That's the mentality. Oh, and one more thing, sorry, one more thing. There is a cost in Hollywood for conservatives speaking out.
Yes, there is.
There is virtually no cost for people on the left speaking.
Except at the box office, and I'll tell you this, I have not spent a red U.S. American copper and zinc cent to see a film that Susan Sarandon has been in more than a decade.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Or her husband, Tim Robbins. And there are several others. Like, I won't see anything that Rosie O'Donnell will even touch. She loves to be anti-gun, which really gets me. But professing that we should go scoop up guns to help save on gun violence.
You can't round up 15 million illegals, but you can round up 300 million guns.
Sure. Yeah. And the idea behind scooping up guns to try to prevent gun violence is just as asinine as scooping up vehicles to try to reduce drunk driving.
Yeah.
It is exactly the same.
And how would the government, what would the government employ in order to scoop up those 300 million guns? Guns. So these people aren't against guns.
No.
They're against guns in the hands of Americans.
Gun control has nothing to do with guns. It has everything to do with control. And when we get celebrities that are coming out there, I got to tell you, it's interesting. It was a few years ago I realized that the Violence Policy Center, who's so anti-gun, and they have a lot of celebrities that like to come around, and the celebrities like to surround themselves.
They make no distinction between criminal violence and lawful violence, such as self-defense.
Not at all. And 25 years old and younger is a child when they use the word child. And we have celebrities that fall into this, and they don't care. They just want their name and face out there. They want to be famous. Like, look at the Kardashians. Not an ounce of talent, and they're famous because cameras follow them around.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I got to tell you, 2 weeks ago, I finally went and looked to see who Kim Kardashian was. I mean, obviously, I see the name splashed all over the news. I see it on the internet. Who cares, right?
There was a lot of ass, and then you finally found a face somewhere?
Yes, I finally went, I'm like, okay, I've heard her name for years. Now, who is this person, and why would I care? And I went and I looked at who she is, and I don't care.
Yeah. And you know, at least we're not hearing about politics from the Kardashians. However, she is married now, and her husband loves to get his face out there and talk
wasn't
about politics.
Wasn't she married before?
I guess.
That was when it was like 19 hours and then divorce?
Something like that. Okay. It was a Hollywood marriage probably, I'm sure. It really, really bothers me when I have my cymbal-banging, dancing monkey in a box tell me how I should vote, what I should look for, who I should support, what their feelings and thoughts are. I don't want that from you. I'll turn on the TV or I'll call you on the phone and you and I can rant.
Yeah.
You know, which is fine for me. I'll call somebody who has some knowledge and some relevance. If I want to talk about gun control or gun rights, I don't want to talk to somebody who knows only about one side of it, which happens to be the gun control crowd. They only know, oh, gun control. You know what's interesting? Nobody who is anti-gun seems to have ever been the victim of a violent crime.
By the way, I'm a little astounded because you don't, if I hear you correctly, what you're saying is that somebody having an amazing vocal ability and singing does not, in your book, mean that they know anything about politics.
You know, I'm glad you drew that conclusion.
Yes.
Just because you've got a set of pipes. Like, I don't want to hear Christina Aguilera, and I'm not saying she ever has.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. Come out and start talking to me about staying out of the sun to prevent melanoma. That's not why I listen to you. Well, I don't. Anyhow, I don't know. It's not my genre.
But as pale as she is, she probably knows something about melanoma.
Not my genre.
But no, you're right, though. I mean, people, especially actors, these are people who pretend for a living. And to imagine that because they pretend for a living that their opinion is more valid than the guy who's hooking up your cable service or the guy who's driving the truck with the arm that lifts your trash can, you know, once a week. They're not. Their opinions are no more valid. They just have a bigger pulpit.
When you put them in a bubble and everybody around them kisses their ass, oh, that was a great scene. Oh, yes. That was so wonderful. Oh, that was a great scene. You did so well. And then you go back to your trailer and somebody's poofing makeup on you and feeding you whatever you asked for. I would imagine you've got to get so wrapped up in, oh my goodness, I am so important that everybody in my world kisses my ass.
You know Russell Crowe, right?
Unfortunately, I know the guy, yeah.
What was that movie he made where he was the Roman?
The Gladiator? Master and Commander.
No, Gladiator, you were right. That movie, he told the director that the script was terrible, but that he, Russell Crowe, could make even this crappy script sound good because I'm one of the finest actors on the planet.
That's right. And you better learn that because if you don't acknowledge it, he'll beat you with a cell phone in New York.
Yeah, yeah. But the audacity.
This is the guy that played a priest that was getting beat up in Gene Hackman and Sharon Stone in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Or not The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, The Quick and the Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
The Quick and the Dead. And he was like a bit actor in that. But all of a sudden...
Yes. And you know what? Here's my thing. If you're going to be an arrogant ass, as far as I'm concerned, throw you out of the role, put somebody in. Let's say for the sake of argument he's right, that he is this fantastic. I'll take somebody who's a little less quality actor, put them in the role, and I don't have to deal with the arrogance.
But still, shut up about politics.
No.
Don't go into it. That's not where we turn. And there's been a lot of money that I have spent in other places when there's actors, actresses, musicians, bands that have come out for whatever reason on any sort of political topic, whether I agree with it or not. That's not your place. If you want to talk about it as an individual and put it on your own
website,
letterhead website, fine. But don't expose the rest of us to it. That's not your job.
And
it's not why we listen. That's not why we watch.
And honestly, I mean, only the multimillionaires do this because it's not really smart business to irritate your customers. And we will be back right after these words. Don't go away. Before we get going, I wanted to remind you that here on KPVM, Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. is the Dave Champion Show. Feel free to tune into that. Now we're in the fourth segment, so we're going to talk about some of the things that our viewers have wanted to talk about. So Bill, why don't you lead off with that?
Well, we announced the show was coming up a couple weeks ago, so on our Facebook pages, we got a couple of things in there, not the least of which, one of our viewers wanted to know, boxers or briefs?
Boxers or briefs, okay.
On us, on women...
Oh,
for society.
This is not just a guy question.
Oh, I don't know. It was that simple. It was not specified. I think we can run with it.
Okay. What do you wear?
For me personally, commando. No, I prefer the boxer briefs, the combo, the kind of a fitted boxer.
A fitted boxer.
Yeah.
Is that like you can't commit one way or the other?
Well, no, I'd like to have everything wrapped into one. You know me, I don't not a single ingredient kind of guy.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I noticed that about you. No, I've got to tell you, the boxer thing doesn't work for me. Perhaps it's a size issue.
Is it a tidy whitey thing for you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I like my.
So now I know why they still sell those in the store.
I like my junk held where it needs to be. How's
you see
that?
Now the boxer brief it fits like that, but they go down your thigh just a little bit.
And the purpose of that is?
I don't know.
Having never worn them, I don't know what...
Well, I guess you're going to have to try it on your own.
I've worn...
I'll lend you some of my old ones if you like.
I've worn briefs a couple times. It was a very discomforting experience. Things were moving about.
Yes. Yeah, and you know what's interesting? There's a commercial for some outfit company, and they have their buck-naked underwear, and it's like, I don't want my stuff...
Yes.
sloshing about,
yes,
if you
now,
will.
Those of you who wear boxers, feel free to get a hold of us at Dave and Bill Show
at
Gmail. Sorry, it's brand new for us. Dave and Bill Show at gmail.com. If you wear boxers, let us know how you cope with that, the whole junk moving around thing, because I'm
going to let you read those, because I really don't want to know about our viewers' junk moving around. I really don't.
I just don't understand how it's can be possibly different strokes for different folks, right? No pun intended. But I don't see how moving around is desirable.
Well, we could talk about the ladies' cuts as well. Like, I am an ass man. If you've ever met my longtime girlfriend, we've been together over 6 years. She has a wonderful derriere. My ex-wife before that, wonderful derriere. So I like it to be as brief as can be on the back side of my woman. That doesn't mean briefs. That means like a thong or something that's kind of, you know, showing shapely. Yeah, no boxers.
We all know like Victoria's Secret, right?
My girlfriend, I don't know why she doesn't already have a credit card for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the place to go.
But I've got to tell you, I have a little bit to do with tattoos. And so I get these emails from these companies that specialize in clothing and other accessories more for the tattoo culture. And there is one, was it Rebel Inc. or Rebel Circus? I forget which one. I mean, my mailbox gets filled up, especially during this time of year, with the email advertisements from these people. And they've got these, I don't even know how to describe them. They're pretty traditional cut, I would think, ladies' underwear, with words on the back. It's not going to spank itself, and you know.
Got to appreciate that.
You know, I'm the naughty Santa was talking about,
right.
Something like this. On the, you know, I don't know what they have made those particular ladies' garments out of, but they do those models justice. Let me tell you.
Well, you have unlimited resources to make a model look hot, and they're already starting with
that's
something.
True.
You know,
that's true. That's true.
I got to tell you. Okay. I did not see the Victoria's Secret fashion show that happened within the last week or two. I saw the one the year before that, and I was just lucky to see that one. And I got to say, yeah, they make that stuff look pretty good.
Should we transition from the underwear to whether we're like a slender, mid, or large booty kind of guy?
If you like. I like mine with a little bit of shape going to the to the rear rather than to the side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way.
Yeah, I think most guys are. Like the other term, I don't want to use the term saddlebag because somebody might get offended, but another word that would otherwise replace that. Yeah.
Yeah, but no. It's nice when a woman actually has a rear end.
You know what's interesting? Jessica Simpson does music and does TV and film and such, was cast years ago as Daisy Duke. And I remember reading an article about that because of the guys that actually put the movie on, the Broken Lizard Productions, the guys that did Super Troopers back in the day.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, those guys are hilarious. but Jay Chandahar, he actually directed it, and all the other guys had at least bit parts, if not larger parts, in there. And so I was reading this whole thing, and there was a bit in there about Jessica Simpson. She said that she got cast as Daisy Duke, but she had a rather flat butt. So she went nuts for the next few months getting ready before filming, doing squats and everything to end up with a nicer booty.
Okay, so ladies, the message is, even if it's not all it could be,
you can create it.
Exercise can change.
Yeah, hit the gym. She actually went to a butt-shaping workout specialist, I guess, according to this article, which I have to say I've seen the film.
By the way, I am that, ladies, if you'd like to contract me for that.
As a matter of fact, he is. Yeah.
Yes.
I have seen the film, and it did seem to work pretty well. The Daisy Dukes fit on Daisy Duke rather well. Yeah.
All right. We had another request.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it was...
I think we beat up the whole...
We have boxers and briefs.
We slapped the...
There's another
enough,
one. Yeah. The person that sent in knows a little bit about me and said, best tequila under $30. I am kind of a tequila aficionado, if you will.
If you're going to use the word, you have to say it with the proper arrogance. Aficionado. There you go.
Yeah, I don't.
When
ever
we say aficionado,
ask me not to use that word. okay, under $30, there isn't any. If we move it up $5, now we can talk a little bit. And it's depends on what retailer you go to.
Now,
are you much of a tequila guy?
You know, I'm yes and no. And let me explain that quickly. I rarely drink tequila in public. Patrick, get ready to beep this out, because it brings to the surface my instant asshole button. You do not want me drinking a lot of tequila in public, but I do enjoy taking a shot at a restaurant or a shot at home.
I know that you have your version of a Long Island iced tea, but yeah. You like tequila in there.
No, I don't. I'm just the opposite. But tell the audience what cheap tequila has in it.
Oh. All right. Well,
because everybody thinks it's tequila.
No. Okay. First of all, there's really five types of tequila. There's the silver or the blanco, the clear stuff. Mm-hmm. Then there's the reposado, which has some kind of an amber color to it. Then there is the añejo. Then there's the premium añejo. Then there's the gold. The gold is horrible. It's usually, just to make the status of tequila, 51% tequila.
Right.
And all the rest is filler. A lot of sugar water, a lot of colors. That's where you're going to get the monstrous headache.
And some sort of bizarre industrial alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Grain alcohol can be in there. It's horrible stuff. Do not buy gold tequila unless you want to make some sort of a horrendous jungle juice and have everybody that is drinking this jungle juice hate you the next day.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It is the worst. Don't go get the 1.75 of gold for $7 at your local grocery store.
You will get a hangover from that
stuff. You will.
Even if you drink it moderately, you will not feel good.
So the we'll go through the purposes, and then I'll tell you my thoughts on what the best ones are. The silver or blanco, that stuff is made for blending, like making a blended margarita. Then you have the reposado. That's made to be mixed, like, say, if you have a mixed margarita or a tequila sunrise, if you will. The añejo is meant to be sipped, and I don't mean shot, I mean sipped, as is the premium añejo. And generally, if you're going to get a really good añejo or premium añejo, mm-hmm. best drink out of something like a brandy sniffer. There's actually tequila glassware that I'm not that pretentious about my tequila. and the best stuff out there for this $35 or $40, sometimes it gets as high as about $50.
Of course, Bill's shot glass looks about this size.
It's true debt.
Yes.
is by far, is without a doubt, it's the Cabo Wabo brand tequilas, the ones that Sammy Hagar actually started with. He ended up selling an 80% stake to the company that is with Sky Vodka for something like $100 million. And he sells a 20% stake, if memory serves correct. But the Cabo Wabo brand, it is fantastic. You can find it for $35 to $45 bucks in most places.
Okay, now, wait a second. You went through that whole list. And you gave the purposes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What they're blended for or made
for. What they're made for, yeah.
Okay. What I didn't hear was which one Bill Carnes recommends if, like Dave Champion. About the only way I can assume tequila is by a shot.
And then añejo is where you want to go. However, I'll tell you this. The Cabo Wabo Reposado, which is their secondary level, mid-level, if you will.
Okay.
That stuff is so good, it is better than a lot of the competitions, most of the competitions in añejo, which is the more premium brand. And just so you know, you've seen my liquor cabinet on occasion.
Yes.
And I must have 18 different tequilas. Some of them are even, I have one different liqueur, it's an apple tequila liqueur. You have to get in Mexico and bring back. I have some spiced, like chili pepper spiced, and I've even blended a couple and made my own little stuff in a carafe. It's kind of nice. But
you know, when you do shots, do you do shots ever?
Well, occasionally. Okay. I've been known to do a shot or two.
Do you do the lime and salt thing?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, so somebody the other
that,
day...
That is so college.
Bastard. I commented on Facebook, I don't know, a couple months ago. I said, you know, knocking back some great tequila with salt and lime, and somebody says, oh, training wheels.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. I actually, I have gotten offended when I've ordered a very specific, especially if it's a good, like an añejo. Uh-huh. Like, say if I get an añejo Patron or a Wabo or something like that, and do you want salt and lime with that? And I'll look at the bartender like, seriously? No. No, give me the gold, that crappy gold that you have about 12 cents worth in that shot glass, and then give me the lime and the salt so I don't actually have to taste that garbage. That's what the salt and lime is for.
I don't know. I just enjoy it. Tequila is probably one of the few things, that and perhaps some vodka, that I buy a little higher grade of. And even with the higher grade tequila, because I get the añejo, and...
That's the stuff.
I like it with salt and lime.
You know,
but I guess I've always done it my whole life, so it's what I know.
Hopefully somebody will email us at daveandbillshow@gmail.com and ask us about spiced rum. Because if I know anything about tequila, I know just as much about spiced rum. And I have got some great ideas and a couple of recipes for spiced rum.
Maybe somebody can email us and ask, you know, what is the best way to give a woman a
gift?
Gift.
Yeah. Yeah, right, we can define gift.
12 seconds, close this out.
Well, I just wanted to say thanks for everybody tuning in for our first episode. We'll be back next week.
Our virgin show, thank you.
And you can also find us, search us out on our YouTube channel, and you can get this and all of our future shows.
Thanks for being here. Bye-bye.